And now, young Widow Brown. After talking with her fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, a little while ago, Ellen Brown read the fateful diary belonging to Louise Simpson, who has been in love with Anthony for years. And it was a heartbreaking experience, since Louise's daily writings in the little book would seem to prove there was a great attachment between her and Anthony. Meanwhile, perplexed and angry over the trouble the diary is causing him and Ellen, Anthony has driven over to Louise's home, where Louise now greets him enthusiastically in the living room, saying,
"Anthony, I'm so glad to see you. Aren't you sweet to come calling?"
"Well, I don't know how sweet I am, Louise."
"Well, it's a great comfort to me to know that I have you to turn to lean on. Let's go out on the terrace. It's very lovely there at this hour."
"Louise, I've come for a very serious talk with you. I'm afraid I haven't come on any errand of comfort."
"Oh, darling, that's all right. You know that I miss Alex. I hated my husband. I prayed for his death almost nightly after I married him. But now he's dead, and I'm very much alone. That's the perversity of women for you, isn't it?"
"Louise, are you trying to make yourself out harder than you are? This is a pretty extreme talk, all this about praying for Alex's death."
"I have to be honest, Anthony. Oh, I don't talk like this to everyone, just to you, really, because you understand me."
"I don't think I do with that, however."
"You do understand me, Anthony. You always did. I think back to the days when my father was so sick in Chicago, before my marrying Alex Simpson was even thought of, and you took care of both of us, father and me."
"Louise, about those days in Chicago..."
"You think of them too, Anthony. I remember you at the hospital, how kind you were, how tender. You remember what you said to me that first night? It was an emergency and you were on duty."
"I'm blessed if I do remember the details, Louise."
"It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. An intern had taken a history from me about father, and you had been called. You didn't even look at me the first time. I was sitting on a bench in the hall, but later, when you knew that he was going to be all right, you came to me. By that time, I was frantic. I was walking up and down the big corridor with those tall windows that let the moonlight in, and you said to me..."
"Everything's all right, Miss Hancock. You ought to get yourself some sleep now."
"Oh, can I see him, Dr. Loring? Can I see my father?"
"He's sound asleep, and he'll be fine tomorrow."
I think I'll stay here, Mary."
No. Now, that's not a good idea. Tomorrow, when he comes out of the shock and coma, he'll want you near him. He'll probably send you on a dozen errands, and you'll be too tired to run it."
You're right. I should go home. Home."
"Where is your home, Miss Hancock?"
"My real home was Simpsonville. That's a little town you probably never heard of. Now I live in a nasty rooming house over on the south side of Chicago."
"Well, most people who come from small towns find it hard to tackle the city."
"I'm tackling everything. The city, my father's illness, my job."
"Look, many nights I walk through the corridors here, this one particularly, and everything seems dark and miserable. And then the dawn begins to come and things get bright. Life is like that."
You're rather a poet."
No, I'm just the doctor who gets lonesome as he prowls around by himself at night and wonders if he has the right to go on with the work that's so serious, so demanding, so important."
"Oh, you have. I know that."
"How do you know?"
"The way you take hold. The way you passed me by when father was in danger. The sick person was the only thing that counted to him. When that job was handled, you had time for me. Time to give me hope and encouragement."
"Not much of either, I'm afraid."
"Oh, yes, Doctor. Ample. Really ample. I've never had anybody bother about me like this before."
"Well, now, that's not likely. A very pretty girl like you."
"I'm not pretty. And I haven't much personality. And I'm responsible for my father. And I don't seem to be able to make any money."
"Isn't there anybody else in the family?"
"No. My mother died 10 years ago. My father just ran his affairs into the ground after that. He needed her. I did my best, but it wasn't good enough. Like everything else I do, it turned out to be a failure. So, there you are, Dr. Lyons."
"No, it isn't that bad. Look, there's a boarding house right near the hospital. It's run by a friend of mine, Miss Mary Baker. I'm going to call her up and see if she'll take you in. And you won't have to do so much traipsing across town."
"I remember it all so well, Anthony. You arranged everything for me."
"I must have had a great deal of time on my hands, Louise. For heaven's sake, I couldn't have been that helpful to the other patients."
"They all worshipped you. I know, because of the days I spent with my father."
"Well, it's too long ago for me to remember, anyway."
"It's too close for me to forget. What happened, Anthony? Did you think that I'd be too much of a burden to your career? Is that why you made me marry Alex Simpson?"
"Louise, I don't have a thing on my conscience concerning that, believe me. I do know this. When Alex Simpson came into view and you remembered him, he remembered you, I thought it was a good thing. Hometown folk getting together.
And you encouraged it, didn't you? Well, of course, I never could have gotten Alex if I hadn't changed my hairdo, my personality, my way of dressing, in the pathetic, vain hope of getting you.
Let's not talk about that, Louise. It doesn't get us anywhere, and I'm rather embarrassed by it.
Well, you certainly looked after my father when you arranged my marriage to Alex. Dear father, he was so anxious about his health and welfare. Wasn't he pleased when I married Alex? Wasn't he delighted?
I think you were too, Louise. As I recall, you made a very happy-looking bride.
Did I? Well, at least I had that much good manners. Why would I have ruined with tears and hysterics a very expensive wedding paid for by the groom? And I still had my father to support in an expensive sanitarium.
All this amazes me, Louise. I had no idea what was going on.
Darling, you were determined to go through with your medical training with no strings. And you very wisely presented me to Alex.
Well, I shan't ever be able to convince you that that isn't true, so I shan't try.
Please don't.
In other words, Louise, we're enemies.
Oh, no, Anthony, the best of friends. But you got rid of me once, and I'm very positive that I shan't let you do that to me again.
Louise.
I have several weapons, not the least of which is all Alex's beautiful money.
Yes, you brought that up before. You intend to have quite a good deal to say about the hospital fund.
Yes.
In other words, I shall dance to your tune. That's your revenge.
Oh, it isn't revenge, Anthony. We may come to understand each other very well indeed. Of course, Ellen may be hurt at times, but I always feel that a woman who is either married to a doctor or engaged to him should realize that he belongs to the world.
You know, bringing in Ellen makes me think of my reason for coming here, Louise.
Is Ellen your reason for being here?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Ellen is my reason for being.
That's a terribly sweet thing for you to say, Anthony.
Louise, someone like you can make a lot of trouble. Someone in your position, with your nature. You have a heart of cold steel. I've just found that out. And I've discovered, too, that you're going to indulge yourself no matter what it does to my life and Ellen.
Why, Anthony?
But I don't think you're going to get away with it. Because Ellen and I know each other too well. This diary of yours, which you told Ellen she could read. You know what I've done about it?
What?
I've told her to read it. And the letters you wrote me, from beginning to end. I don't want Ellen wondering what was in those letters or in your diary. I want her to know and to read for herself that there was nothing of any seriousness between you and me.
Dear Anthony, you are a very stupid man, very stupid. When did you tell Ellen this?
Just a little while ago.
In other words, Ellen is probably reading my diary right now. My day-by-day account of those weeks at the hospital. Of your friendship, of our long walks, of evenings sitting on Miss Mary Baker's front step.
Probably.
You're foolish, Anthony. You played almost too quickly into my hands. I think I know better than you what Ellen's reaction is going to be.
I'll know later this evening. She's going to call me.
I wonder if she will, Anthony.
She'll call me. Because she loves me.
I wonder. I don't think she will. When she finds out how much you lied about me. How much you denied.
Why should she believe you, Louise, and not me?
Because, Anthony, she's a woman.
Now, later in the evening, the telephone rings in Ellen's home.
Hello?
Ellen?
Yes, Anthony.
You didn't call me?
No. No, Anthony, I didn't.
Any special reason?
Just that I couldn't.
I gather I'm not to come over.
No, please.
All right, dear. Good night.
Good night.
How right is Louise Simpson in her summation of young Widder Brown?